It's the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's brought to you by Pike Nurseries, your neighborhood garden center, playing in the dirt for more than 50 years. Call now with your lawn and garden questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And now, here's Walter.
Live audience already this morning at 6:07 at News Talk WSB. It's 6:07 at the West Cobb Pike Nursery, where we are celebrating the not the beginning nor the end of the holiday season, but we are here at the West Cobb Pike Nursery to have our last remote broadcast of the season, and we already have audience members here who will be helping me to clap whenever we start this segment every half hour this morning. It's great to be at a Pike Nursery. Mickey Gasway is with me, and every time I come to a Pike Nursery, Mickey, it just makes me feel good.
Oh, and it smells so good,
too. Yeah.
I feel like I'm coming and going.
Yeah, the microphone, and Lorenzo will work on that in just a minute, I'm sure. We'll take that into account. But whenever I come to a Pike, and particularly during the holiday season, you have the poinsettias that are just covering up the place, just big ones, little ones, red ones, white ones, orange ones, sprinkly, sparkly ones, all sorts of poinsettias here, which of course make a traditional holiday plant gift. If you're going to give somebody something, give them a poinsettia. If you don't give them that, give them a Christmas cactus. Gotta have a Christmas cactus. And that is just one of those things that, however it got to be in Georgia or in the United States, the poinsettia became the holiday plant. As some of you may or may not know, it was discovered is not really the right word. It's been growing for thousands and thousands of years in Mexico. And Joel Poinsett, he of South Carolina, was down in Mexico looking around one day, and this has been 100 years ago easily, maybe 200 years ago, and he saw the poinsettia, and he thought, well, that is a very interesting plant, but it's sort of gangly, it's sort of weedy looking, it sort of doesn't look like anyone would ever want to call it ornamental. And so Joel Poinsett went ahead, and he was a plantsman, and so he brought back a bunch of these poinsettias to play with in South Carolina. And when he brought back to South Carolina, some people there said, well, you know, if you just cut it back a little bit, it would be a lot more compact. And he said, well, yeah, you know something else it does? It changes color in response to the day length. And they said, well, that's interesting. There's not a whole lot of plants that do that. And so in research there at South Carolina, and then he had a friend, Paul Ecke, and Paul Ecke is in California. Paul Ecke heard about these beautiful plants that you could make bloom, if you will, and have the red bracts on the plants if you manipulated the amount of light they got during the day. And so Paul Ecke said, you know, and another thing, they're easy to breed. You can make all sorts of colors on the leaves, all sorts of shapes on the leaves and sizes of plants and things like that. And so Paul Ecke started Ecke Ranch. And Ecke Ranch is where you have just about every one of the poinsettia varieties you see today. All that variation and variability in the color of the bracts on the plant is part of the breeding program at Paul Ecke. And every year they send out a catalog with 10 new kinds of poinsettias. And you thought, well, last year they had 40, 50, 100 maybe that you could choose from. This year they got 10 new ones. And so every year they bring out something that is new, different, and weird in the poinsettia business. Now, Mickey, I said just now incorrectly that the bloom is only part of those red blooms and white blooms and things like that, but that's not right.
The bloom is a little yellow part in the middle.
Right in the middle of the plant. That's where the flower is. What are the leaves called?
They're bracts.
Yeah, they're bracts.
I guess, yeah.
If you need to show off the holiday season, you're at a cocktail party or something, and you want to show off something, how much you know about plants, and you go to the fireplace or the kitchen counter and point to the poinsettia and say, you know, these are bracts, these aren't flowers.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody will
roll their eyes.
Jump back and roll their eyes. That's a know-it-all is there at the holiday party. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the poinsettia, don't let anybody else tell you they're poisonous. Once you've showed off a little bit and talked about the bracts, then don't let somebody say, well, you know they're poisonous. They're not poisonous.
I eat one every year at our party to prove to people that they're not poisonous.
You can eat.
They taste awful.
A poinsettia bract. There are euphorbia.
Unless you're allergic to latex.
Yeah, yeah. But the euphorbias have latex in the leaves and the stems, and that latex does not taste very good. But it's not going to kill you.
No.
It was some fake news, I believe it was, back 50, 60 years ago.
And my cats eat them every year.
Your cats eat them, and they don't die. Some child in Hawaii was found with a poinsettia leaf clasped in her hands, and she had passed away for some reason or another. It wasn't poinsettias, but somehow the local news people said, oh, we got to make a big story out of something here. And so they didn't know what she had died from, but she had the poinsettia leaf in her hand.
Are you making this up, or did it really change?
Oh, half of it.
Okay. Right.
You decide which half.
I don't know.
So nonetheless, this poor child passed away and was memorialized, if you will, because she passed away and had the poinsettia leaf in her hand. She didn't die from the poinsettia leaf.
Speaking, very interesting.
Yeah, speaking of poisonous, if you will, poisonous plants, I had a little consult last night, Nikki. I was at a party where someone had taken eucalyptus leaves to decorate the top of a cake. And somebody else in the party said, now, is eucalyptus poisonous? And so they all turned their eyes towards me and said, Mr. Reeves, is eucalyptus poisonous? And I thought, I don't know about that.
Let me Google it.
Yeah, let me Google. That's exactly what I did. I Googled
it. Everybody does.
I Googled it big time. And Google said that if you eat a lot of eucalyptus oil, it's poisonous. But one leaf is not going to have enough oil in it to make any difference. And like you, like the poinsettia, it's not going to taste very good. You'll have eucalyptus breath for a day or two,
But if you ate enough oil, it would preserve you on the inside.
Oh, that would be something. On the inside, that would be a good thing.
Well, that's what they use it for.
Same thing with vodka and rum and whiskey and things like that. They preserve you inside. By the way, we're broadcasting live this morning from the Pike Nursery in West Cobb. We haven't yet gotten our communications gear put together to contact the station. And so we're just talking this right now. If you want to come by and talk to us, to Mickey Gasway and Walter Reeves at the West Cobb Pike store, we'd be happy to entertain you with any number of stories, half of which is true, half of which is untrue.
Okay. Not from my side.
Totally truth, 100% on the Gasway side of the table. On the Reeves side, the truth percentage goes down by several.
But he's very entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah, my contract only calls for 90% truth.
Oh, okay.
I get 10% of total made-up BS.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
So I can do that. Neil Bortz's contract, he was like 50%. Something like 50 or 40% would be truth, and 60% could be Neil Bortz talking.
Interesting.
About something. I'm not sure what the whole Eric Von Hessler and the Sean Hannitys and Rush Limbaugh, I'm not sure about where Rush's percentage is, but I'll let y'all figure that out about Mr. Limbaugh. One more thing, Mickey, that I wanted to not let go without noting today is the color of the Japanese maples in some places in Atlanta. Not every place, but in some places in Atlanta, the Japanese maples are slap jumping out of the ground. They're so full of color.
I told Stan that the other day. I've never seen them that pretty at Thanksgiving.
They were.
Thanksgiving's early this year, I know that, but they have been incredible. I've got a crawl bark, a sankakaku at home that is just jumping. It's got the red bark and beautiful, beautiful gold blue leaves.
Right.
And then I've got a red bloodgood right behind it. And they are so pretty.
I just love them. Driving at dusk yesterday, and I was just so thankful and lucky to see a Japanese maple that was highlighted by a little bar of sunshine. Not a lot of sunshine that time of day, but a little bar of sunshine lit that Japanese maple up. It was like one of these poinsettias at the Pike Nursery. It was just eye-catching, thrilling to see the Japanese maple color. And then as I was going home in the dark last night, I saw that there was a ginkgo on the street coming to my house.
Pretty too.
Even in the dark, the ginkgo lit up the sky.
They've been so beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, we've got smaller ginkgos now. We've got them that don't get so big. I can't remember.
There's a columnar one I saw the other day.
This one is just smaller. I think it only gets to like 15 feet.
Wow.
Instead of,
39.
Yeah.
58. Way up there.
Yeah, but they're beautiful. So pretty. We always tell the kids those are dinosaur feet.
Dinosaurs ate ginkgos. That is true.
Yeah.
That's true. They did. And the other thing that is true that you may have not heard, but in the last 5 years, they have documented ginkgo trees changing sex.
Well, have you heard that they're conifers?
They are conifers.
That's conifers. What I've heard.
They got little cones.
Some people say those are conifers. Yeah. Some of them say they're not conifers.
No, they are a conifer. They're gymnosperm. But the thing that was interesting is that all of us, not all of us, but a lot of people know that ginkgo female trees drop the fruit, and it has all this stinky, nasty fruit that it drops off of the tree. And so you plant male trees, which I hope pike, of course, would grow from cuttings, and they'd be male trees. But in the last 4 or 5 years, scientists at an arboretum saw a tree that had been acting as a male, had just made cones, had pollen, and did not at all look like a female tree, but then changed from male to female and started making the little parts that make the fruit. And so they said the ginkgo can change sex depending on its demand for female friends. Yeah. Yeah, see, I don't want to get too far into that, but
that's
exactly
what I meant.
It. Well, just one of those scientific. Did I make that up? I did not make that up, by the way. I know you're looking at me with a little hairy eyeball here. If you have questions about ginkgos, about poinsettias, about anything you want to ask about in the garden, outdoors, indoors, or upside down or right side up, you can call us at 404-872-0750. 404-872-0750. After the break, we'll get to our friend Nicole down in Griffin, Georgia. Right now it's 6:18, and we'll be back after this.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll be covering breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts through the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Walter Reeves and the lawn and garden advice you need.
And a quick weather update brought to you by Ackerman Security. A chance of showers this morning, high of 59, low of 40 overnight. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, night showers again, high of 64, low of 42. Your full weekend forecast comes up in 10 minutes on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. See if I can pull my thing up here. Nicole down in Griffin, Georgia, joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, Nicole, good morning. There, Nicole, are you there? I keep clicking it and it doesn't come up. So, Jason, if you were on your end, click. There you go. Hey, Nicole.
Miss Marie.
Miss Nicole, good morning. Whenever we have a remote broadcast, I'm always a little curious because Nicole, as you know, is our first caller most Saturday mornings. And so if she doesn't come through, we know we got problems. We have to fix it. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Miss Marie.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Mickey.
So what have you been thinking about, Nicole?
Slow going this morning.
Yeah.
Was
slow
it,
growing.
Was it raining when you came in?
Well, it was sprinkling, I think, was a weather report this morning. I went through bands of rain this morning coming from Atlanta up to West Cobb, and the, it'd be sprinkling sort of hard, then very, very light mist for a few minutes, and then sprinkling pretty hard after that. So, not terrible rain this morning, but still, it's rain out there. Can't deny that. It's going to taper off during the day, as the weather report just says. High 59 today, and at 59 degrees, that's not bad. You can get out and do some things with 59 degrees.
Yeah. Talking about Christmas cactus, one year my neighbor gave me one, a big old guy, and he bloomed inside the house. So I was so happy. I took the Christmas cactus outside, go and show it to her. When I came back the next day, all the bloom was on the ground.
Oh, did like be moved?
No, I didn't know they were so fragile. So leave them alone. Don't move them.
I don't think of the plant being fragile. I think of the blooms are the ones that are fragile. The blooms fall off when you move them around, get them cold or get them hot or dry or something like that.
I leave mine outside until Halloween. That's my time to bring them in. And then I know that it's time to bring them in, and I don't water them in October.
But as far as the plant goes, the plant's tough.
Oh, yeah. They're
I think the plant, that's...
got one that's 75 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
I've got the original plant. Now, it doesn't look great, but it's still alive. You know, none of us look very good when we get that old
one. What happened to your plant, Nicole? Did your plant recover after dropping all the flowers?
No, I just... I don't know what happened a long time ago, but I think I bought some new ones, some baby ones. Mickey, how big was it at 75 years old?
It was big. Of course, I had cut back, and it had been divided and everything. Probably A yard across, 36 inches, 30, probably.
Wow.
It was huge. I've got some pictures of it.
I bet it's a ball of fire when the flowers would come on it. It's a ball of fire.
And I've made so many cuttings from it. I've given them to my daughter and my daughters-in-law. And so this was from an aunt of mine.
Do they have new colors this year?
No, it's same color.
Yeah, but as far as in the nursery, do you think they have new colors this year, like peach and white and?
Well, we've got all different colors. We've got all different colors.
Nicole, I've never seen a variegated leaf Christmas cactus. Mm-mm. Have you?
No, that would be a good idea, isn't it?
Yeah, it seems like they have variegated leaf everything else in the world. Why not Christmas cactus? Yeah. Why is it not variegated? That is something for us to investigate, breed.
But you know that what we're calling Christmas cactus really aren't Christmas cactus.
What are they?
They're Thanksgiving cactus.
Because they're blooming now?
Well, if you look at the shape of the little segments, Christmas cactus, they're almost round.
Yeah.
The Thanksgiving cactus, they're more jagged.
So.
And it's really, we hardly ever get Christmas cactus, but we get the Thanksgiving cactus.
So you look at the plant, and whenever it blooms, that is what season it is. If you had one that blooms at Easter, that would be the Easter cactus.
You look at the shape of the leaf, and then you can tell.
Yeah. Nicole, I noticed that I haven't been looking at the clock here to see when I had to get out, but it does seem to be the signal that we need to get out of here. So, Nicole, I will see you next Saturday morning. This is Lawn and Garden. I'm Walter Reeves. We'll be back after news.
It's the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's brought to you by Pike Nurseries, your neighborhood garden center, playing in the dirt for more than 50 years. Call now with your lawn and garden questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And now, here's Walter.
We were counting it down. We were counting it down. We're broadcasting live this morning from the Pike Nursery in West Cobb on
Barrett Parkway.
Well, what's his full name?
Ernest
W. Barrett.
Barrett.
Yeah. Well, my
direction says
that. It says Ernest West Barrett. Because since the W stands for West. So I went to Ernest West Barrett Parkway today. I believe it's 3431 Ernest West Parkway. Ernest West Barrett Parkway. And we'll be broadcasting here this morning, broadcasting now till 8 o'clock, because you know what happens at 8 o'clock, Mickey Gasway. I don't want to remind everybody else, but if you root for another team, but the University of Georgia Bulldogs will be playing Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets today on radio, the home of the Dogs here on WSB. They kick off at 12 noon. It takes us 4 hours to cover everything that needs to be covered before the kickoff, and so we will begin that kickoff at 8 a.m. this morning.
Yeah, bless their hearts.
Bless their hearts, exactly we say. And so I will be here until 9 o'clock, so anyone who wants to drop by in the normal broadcast hours would be 6 a.m. till 9 a.m. I'll be here from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. We're only broadcasting from 6 a.m. till 8 a.m. this morning. And then Mickey starts with her Williamsburg wreath class, and it promises to be a big crowd of folks.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
So what time does it start?
At 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. So if you are signed up for the Williamsburg wreath class at your Pike Nursery anywhere, but here particularly in West Cobb, 9 o'clock, Mickey Gasway will take over the table and show how to make those Williamsburg wreaths.
This is my 25th one. We were thinking about today.
25th year or 25th wreath?
25th year to do the wreaths.
Was that the first thing you ever learned to do at Pike?
No, I went to Williamsburg and I took the class and then I said, we need to do that at Pike's.
You saw potential. Our number is 404-872-0750. If you have a garden question, don't want to come see us at the Pike Nursery on Barrett Parkway, come to us. Let me move my screen over here for just a second. Is it John? I can't move my screen here. John in Villarica. There he is. Hey, John. Good morning. Welcome to the Lawn and Garden.
Good morning, sir.
How can we help, John?
And, I have a problem with the house I've been in for a year now, and that is I take afternoon sun, direct sun, really, really hot.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's hostas in there now that are sunburned to pieces.
Huh.
So I just really wanted your recommendation maybe on some flowers. I have an HOA neighborhood, so they're a little picky and everything looking right.
Yeah.
So maybe something that's drought tolerant. My kids can run them down and they just thrive. Something like calabash grass.
What can we think, Mickey, that would be drought-tolerant, heat-tolerant, kid-tolerant, and wants to be in full sun?
I love succulents.
All the succulents, the sedums, of course, the very small ground cover kind of plants. But they're also, I don't think the larcenate coneflowers, they like to be in full sun.
They look right. Rudbeckia?
Yeah, Rudbeckia.
Coneflower.
Shasta daisy in my yard, Shasta daisy.
Lantana.
Full sun. Oh, lantana is a great idea. Yeah, lantana is a very heat-tolerant plant. Butterflies love it. Has flowers and it blooms from spring when you buy it at Pike all the way to the fall when the frost comes and freezes it back. And then if you get a couple that come back, they'll come back again.
Miss Huff, Marianne.
Marianne.
Chapel Hill Yellow.
And so there are three of the lantana that come back pretty well in the full sun. And every year there are several other kind of lantanas that do not come back. But just specifically Miss Huff and Marianne and Chapel Hill Yellow all come back.
Do you leave yours up or do you cut them back?
Cut them back. Well, I
leave mine up.
I cut them back whenever I feel like it. It could be early in the season, in December. It could be late in the season in March.
Okay.
But I cut them back.
I leave mine up a little bit. Somebody told me to do that, and I feel like I'm, doing something bad if I cut them back.
No, I don't worry about it. So, John, what else do you need, my friend?
That's pretty much it. I work from sun up to sundown, so it's I'm a weekend gardener, and then unfortunately it's got to be hands-free and hopefully perennial, and just I think I'll look into those. I appreciate your time, sir.
Coneflower, Shasta daisy, lantana,
succulents. Some of the succulents, there's one, it's a sedum that they call Live Forever.
That's a good name. And Live Forever,
Perfect.
Hens and Chicks.
Yeah,
the name of it is Semper Vivum, which means always alive.
Always alive, right. So Semper Vivum is another sedum. Again, all these like well-drained soil, John, one of the things you can go wrong on real quickly is if you try to plant them in clay soil, they mostly don't like living in clay soil. So when you dig up the bed, add some organic matter to it, some of the soil conditioner things, products, a little bit of starter fertilizer. Make sure the ground drains real quickly so it doesn't get soggy in the wintertime. That's the key to making all these heat-loving plants be happy.
Perfect. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Thanks for calling, John. 404-872-0750 is the number on Lawn and Garden. If you have a question about gardening, and one of the things, Mickey, I wanted to talk about is the ginkgo. Did we mention the ginkgo about how the leaves fall from the ginkgo all at one time? I know we did to the audience here.
I don't know. Go ahead.
But one of the things that I think is fabulous to see are the YouTube videos that are just trained on a ginkgo tree. Over just a day's time, the ginkgo, all the leaves go and they fall to the ground.
And they're so pretty on the ground.
Just a carpet of yellow there. I believe that the ginkgo tree alongside Sewell Hall at the University of Georgia is still around. It was there, I believe, when my mother was there in the 1930s.
Wow.
I believe that ginkgo is still there. And I just find that to be a fascinating tree, again, because there's so many different sizes and colors, not colors, but different forms now that they have that they didn't used to have of the ginkgo tree,
right,
including the ones that may or may not turn from male to female. We're not sure about that, but they seem to. Dave is out in Tucker, Georgia, and joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, David, good morning.
Good morning. Had a question, interestingly enough, about lantanas.
Yeah.
Is there any kind of pattern if, everything remains the same as to when they're going to spread and when not? Because I had a perennial small version called Golden Medallion,
mm-hmm.
and the first year they were just kind of there, and the second year it was kind of maybe a foot and a half wide bush, and a third year it's a carpet.
Wow.
Wow.
Gold Medallion.
I don't know that, boy.
I don't either. And so how high, when you say carpet, David, do you mean like 4 inches, 6 inches, 10 inches? How tall?
Probably about, it varies a little bit, but I'd say 6 inches plus.
Wow.
Darn, that's low.
That sounds beautiful, though.
It does. And so by golden carpet, I'm assuming the flowers are yellow, right?
That is correct, and two plants cover about an 8x10 section of the yard.
Wow.
David, you just taught us something interesting.
Well, I know my Miss Huff has gotten bigger. It's like shrub. It's taller than I am now. Yeah. And it started out being like 3 feet, 2 feet. And now it's shrub size. But it's probably 4. And so it's gotten bigger. I think probably yours is just like mine. It's growing in direct proportion to the size of the root ball.
Could be.
As the root ball grows, then it grows too.
Over at Toco Hill, not too far from you, David, at Toco Hill, before they did the recent renovation at Toco, there was a place outside the shoe store and Petit Auberge restaurant there that had a planter that I believe it was Chapel Hill Yellow was in, because Chapel Hill Yellow is lower and spreads out sort of. And so the people there occasionally would call me up and say, boy, you ought to see the lantana in front of the store today. It's really pretty. But like your experience, David, some are bushy-like, like the Miss Huff that Mickey was talking about, and some are more ground covery-like, and I guess it does take some time for them to decide what they're going to be or what they're ultimately going to turn into.
Yeah, I bought it at a hardware store and can't find it retail since then. Also, a little interesting thing for the holidays, I can't find any boiled custard anywhere in this town.
Any what?
Boiled custard.
What is boiled custard, David?
Well, to state the obvious, I believe it's custard that's been boiled. It's a liquid.
Yeah.
It's about half as thick as eggnog. It's a much lighter flavor, but vanilla type flavor. And I used to be able to pick up a Kroger, and now nobody's got it at all.
David, the entire
audience. I thought we were
talking
about Holly's.
Yeah, just talking about Holly. No, the audience here at the Pike, David, is looking at me like, what is he talking about? Boiled custard. Where are you from, David, that you would be even accustomed to boiled custard for the holiday season?
Well, I'm originally from Northwest Tennessee, but I bought it down here.
I've seen it at Kroger.
Of the stores don't carry it.
I've seen it at Kroger.
You have seen it?
I've seen it at Kroger. It's in a quart. Like you buy eggnog.
Yeah,
I've seen it.
Exactly.
I've never eaten it. I've never drank it, but
it's right next to the eggnog. One reason it's not as popular is I think for some reason maybe people don't spike it as much.
I always think the eggnog cartel had had come in and just taken over the space in the cooler, and so you didn't have any boiled custard because the eggnog folks had beat them up and cast them out on the street.
It is odd because I spoke to Publix and they stopped carrying it about 6 or 8 years ago. And I called the specialty groceries yesterday.
Right.
And they do not have it at present. They don't know if they will get it, but they don't have it now. But it's, I really like it. I think it's, I consider eggnog a little too much of everything.
All right. But the boiled custard just fits your taste just right.
Yeah, yeah. And everyone who tries it likes it. They just haven't been exposed to it. And I believe it's traditionally Southern.
Right. David, we will do a 5-point search for the boiled custard this morning. If someone else in our audience knows where David can get the boiled custard, please call in and alleviate David's thirst for this food product. And we will try to get you satisfied, Dave. So stick around, and we'll try to find somebody who knows where you can get boiled custard.
There you go. Thank you very much, sir.
You bet, Dave. Thanks for calling this morning. Thanks for telling us about that lantana. That's fascinating. It's 6:48 at News Talk WSB. We'll be back to more Lawn and Garden after this.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll be covering breaking news, Kirk Mellis weather, and traffic red alerts through the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Walter Reeves, the lawn and garden advice you need.
And we go in a quick weather update brought to you by Acoma Security. Chance of showers this morning. I would say the chance is pretty much 100% because it rained on me coming here to the Pike Nursery on Barrett Parkway. High of 59 today, low of 40 degrees. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, night showers. High of 64 and a low of 42. Your full weekend forecast comes up in 10 minutes on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. We're broadcasting live this morning in front of a live audience, a very well-fed audience, because the Chick-fil-A folks the Chick-fil-A at West Cobb just made their first delivery of the morning, and those biscuits taste real good. I can tell by the smiles and the contented chewing that I see on the faces of my audience here that they're having a good time. You are welcome. Anybody passing by, you're welcome to come by and check in on the Chick-fil-A biscuits as well as ask garden questions. And don't forget, Pike this weekend is having their big Black Friday sale. 3.5-inch pansies, 97 cents, and Pike planting mix, $2 off. Christmas cactus, we were talking about that earlier. The 4-inchers, 3 for $10. So you get a Christmas cactus and the planting mix and the pansies as well. Still plenty of time to plant those outdoors, and you can have a pretty-looking landscape with the flowers.
Sure.
Mickey Gasaway is with me this morning. And Mickey, in just a minute, I think, will be the person who pulls the name for somebody who went, who gets a holiday decorating pack. Now, the holiday decorating pack is a red poinsettia, a living rosemary wreath, and that'll be part of the pack, and we'll have a little raffle at the end to award that to somebody here. 404-872-0750 is the number on Lawn and Garden. If you have a question about your garden trees and plants, and my screen is not refreshing, so I don't have anything on my screen right here, but we'll just continue to talk. Who, Bob, in Tucker, Georgia. Join us on Lawn and Garden, Bob. Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning,
How are
Bob.
You, Walter?
We're doing fine, Bob. What's up?
Well, my tree that you told me was going to die from the beetle. Oh, yeah. Well, I need to replace it. And it's been 2 years now, and I want to replace it with maybe a maple. So I was going to ask you, what would you plant as far as fall color goes, maybe two or three different ones you could give me. I just want to plant a tree that's going to be beautiful in the fall.
How much room do you have, Bob?
About 2 acres.
Oh, you got a lot of room.
Oh,
there.
Yeah.
We're talking little bitty trees. We're big trees.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Trees.
Yes.
What do you think, Mickey?
I love all the red maples, the October glories and the red sunsets. They're beautiful, beautiful maples. There's some sugar maples, and I can't bring the name of them, but they're the ones that are yellow and gold and orange. They're beautiful in the fall, too. And the ginkgos,
We have talked about ginkgo earlier today. So you got the red maples, and I think Mickey's right. It's hardly a bad red maple.
Yeah, they're all
the
pretty. They're but all be pretty. Sure you get one that has a name. You don't want one that just says red maple. If you get one that just says red maple, you know, they probably will have good color, but you know what they're going to do if they have a name.
Right. I have a sugar maple down in my backyard now. And it did not have a specific name. Mm-hmm. And when I bought it, I thought it was going to be one of these, you know, beautiful. And it is pretty.
Yeah.
When I go through some of the landscapes down on North Lake Parkway and around here where I work, I see some that are just, I mean, just stand out. And I go, good gosh, what kind of maple is that?
Maples, ginkgos, all those things like that, Bob, I think will be just fine. We got to get out of here, by the way, Bob. It's 6:58. But thank you for calling. We'll be back to more Lawn and Garden after news.